Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Psalms 124 and 125. And I apologize for not editing the orders of worship properly, but we are at Psalm 124 and 5. Psalm 124, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. A song of degrees of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Psalm 125, a song of degrees. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so in Psalm 124, the psalmist realizes here that the victory and the escape and the benefits, all of the spoils of war and so on, they are not due to his prowess nor skill nor other means. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. So, there are perhaps all kinds of historical circumstances where you will hear people give glory to God because they faced overwhelming odds. They had come up against an army that was better equipped than they were. They came up against an army that had greater weaponry than they did, more people than they did, and yet, at the end of the day, they ended up winning. They give glory to God. This happens over and again. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. But we don't want to keep this only in a martial or warlike kind of inference. We want to understand it most properly of the spiritual things. If it had not been the Lord that was on our side, we would have been a prey to those who would consume us. Remember what the father of John Baptist says, Zacharias, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies may serve him without fear all the days of our life. Right? Delivered out of the hand of our enemies. And this psalm follows, in some sense, that same pattern in that we are delivered from our enemy unto service. Delivered unto serving the Lord. All right, and then notice also in the psalm that there is a repetition. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, Israel may say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. So it's repeated. In fact, there are a couple of repetitions in this particular psalm. And so it tells us then that that this is particularly emphatic. It's also a song to be sung. There are repetitions in songs. And so this one was written with a couple of those repetitions built in, although it does also make for an emphasis. The waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. So there are a couple of repetitions here to emphasize the point that the Lord is our deliverer. If he had not been on our side, we would have been swallowed up. Notice they would have swallowed us up quick. Swallowed us up quick means alive. We would have been swallowed alive, right? While we were yet fighting, in other words, while we were yet making that kind of defense. So the psalmist then discourages any reliance upon the resources at his command. Only in the Lord is there safety and strength. He doesn't rest on any of those resources. Even the perceived strengths that you think you have are governed for their effectiveness by the Lord's providence and favor. And the best and most reliable engines of war, strategies for business, methods of moving forward in any endeavor, and especially that of spiritual advancement, are under the hand of the Lord. The best weaponry in the world will not work if you throw the switch and zzz, right? You can have silo after silo after silo of nuclear weaponry. But if it doesn't launch when it's supposed to, it's just holes in the ground. It is the Lord who makes all of these strategies and stratagems successful. So we come to him then. And this works especially in the spiritual realm as well. We must not think that simply doing private worship and turning a crank and it'll spit out, you know, holiness. It'll spit out holy living. We rest upon the Lord in all of these things. Secondly, the wrath of the wicked is often stirred up against the people of the Lord. Right? So they rose up against us. Men rose up against us. They would have swallowed us. Their wrath was kindled against us. And so it's important for us to remember that this is a great comfort. We need the Lord upon our side because all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, according to the Apostle Paul as he speaks to Timothy. And so we need the Lord as our defender. So fear the Lord rightly, and you will not be afraid of what men can do to you. They are limited in what they can do, and the Lord is unlimited in his care over you. Right? Contrast it like that. They are limited in what they can do to you. The Lord is unlimited in the care he exercises over you. And then finally, he says that our help is in the name of the Lord. So there is no other name upon which men should call. There is no other name able to save. The enemies of your soul are powerful, and you cannot overcome them. They will overcome you if you rest on anything except the Lord. Only the Lord can serve as your deliverance from the enemy of your soul. So then verse 6, blessed be the Lord who hath not given us over as a prey to their teeth. And we're reminded there, aren't we, of 1 Peter 5:8, that the enemy of our souls wanders about as a roaring lion with fang and claw to devour. Notice, no one would fear him if Peter would have said something like, the enemy of our souls wanders about like a snail. The enemy of, you know, ooh, he's going to make me yak, you know. No. He wanders about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith then. So our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. And I hope that you see in that brief little illustration there that we don't start out free, we start out ensnared. The snare, however, is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Finally, notice how the psalmist comforts him and all who would hear him, who made heaven and earth. In other words, our deliverer is the creator of all. He is unlimited in his power. Now we move on to Psalm 125. Notice that there is a steadfastness that characterizes the people of God. Zion here is typified not just as the church, but the people in it that are associated with it. So, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is comprised of those who are steadfast, and so the church herself is steadfast. So Zion cannot be moved. She cannot be moved, secondly, because she is surrounded by and protected by the Lord himself. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord compasses about, he's round about his people from henceforth and even forever. So two things, right? The people of God are kept by God and they're protected by God. And so Zion herself cannot be moved. Zion abides forever. In our confession of faith, we read about the fact that the church, in at least one day in human history, was reduced to 8 souls. Remember that? In the days of Noah, the visible church was reduced to 8 souls. And we remember, don't we, from the subsequent history, that a few of those were questionable as to whether or not they had true faith, especially Ham. All right, so the church was reduced to 8 souls. But did it disappear? No. No, it cannot disappear. It will always be kept. It is the Lord that keeps his church. And so there will always be, upon the face of the earth, a church to worship the Lord. Zion cannot be removed. Like the mountains circle around Jerusalem, so also the Lord compasses his people and protects them. He protects them with his presence. All right, there may be times, thirdly, when the rod of the wicked falls upon the people of God, but it shall not rest there. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. It may fall upon it. We may come under judgments, but that lot will never be taken away from us. That inheritance cannot be taken from us as the people of God. Note, however, that the Lord protects them even in this, that while they may be oppressed, that it will go according to the will of the Lord only so far as it is for their good, and they will be spared from the iniquity of despair or hopelessness. They will not put forth their hands unto iniquity. In other words, they will not lose their inheritance such that they despair of it and put forth their hands in such a way that would be sinful before God. Right? So the Lord protects them and he protects their inheritance. Their persecution will always, in the final analysis, do them good. All right, so then in verses 4 and 5, the final portion, there is a dividing of the good from the evil. Do good unto those that be good and to them that are upright in their hearts. Of course, no one is perfectly upright, but this is the changed heart that we're talking about, the regenerated heart. And so the psalmist prays for the people of God that the Lord would do them good. But notice then, immediately he separates out the wicked from that in verse 5. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. And then finally we return, but peace shall be upon Israel. So we have then in verses 4 and 5 the dividing of the wicked from the good, and the prayer goes forth then for the good, that the Lord would do them good, and also with regard to the wicked, that the Lord will, that the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. They will receive their just reward. Now, there are several places, Psalm 37, Psalm 73, and other places, where we hear that we are not to worry when the wicked flourish. We're not to worry about that. When you see the wicked flourishing as a green bay tree, right, Psalm 37, note that the Lord only raises him up in order to bring him down and to glorify his own name. This is the same thing that we are assuring ourselves of here in Psalm 125, that the workers of iniquity shall be, that those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. Some have made a little bit of a use with regard to turning aside here. And so the psalmist would also separate in this interpretation between those who are in the church only nominally by name, and eventually what do? They turn aside, right? They turn aside instead of following after that way. And they shall be led forth with the workers of iniquity. They will, if you will, come into their own. But peace shall be upon Israel. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of our reading. Let's stand and call upon